I am living the life of Christ. Am I perfect? Nope. But if I'm ever going to get anywhere, I'm on the right journey. The life of Christ. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we are so thankful for your mercy, your grace, your patience, your kindness, your love. We are in desperate need of you, Lord, in our lives today. We ask, Lord, as we together, as one body, go to your word and see what it is that you want to show us, Lord. The areas of our lives that we need to yield over to you so you can do your wonderful work to touch many. We ask to be with us in this moment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Title my sermon today, Humanity's Most Broken Connection. Now, you might think, God, wish that's true. But we talk a lot here about transformational information from the Word of God, allowing God to transform you. It's about the details of how to do that. So I want to talk about something about a connection that we all need, it's broken. It doesn't work right. A specific connection. Turn your Bibles to John 13 and 34. St. John 13, 34, our Savior, he's talking here, and he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What he's saying here is that if you want to know if you're a Christian or not, because there's another scripture that says, you'll know them by what? The love we have for each other. So if you want to know if you're a Christian, look at your relationships. It can be an indicator there. He's saying there's something about being a Christian and where you're at, and that determines by the love you have for each other. Now, it doesn't say that it's a specific doctrine, how you baptize. It doesn't say a particular amount or type of knowledge or membership or denomination that determines if you're a Christian or not. It says how you treat people. In 1 John 4 and 7, 1 John 4 and 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So he's saying here, if you don't have love, as in the way you think and your attitude toward people, you might want to check yourself. You're not living a Christian life, possibly. Don't confuse this with a new Christian getting started, because sometimes we do that, don't we? Don't look around at those who are just getting started, getting to learn things, and they're just getting started. They're coming out of the world. I'm not talking about the babies in Christ who are learning. I'm talking about those of us that say, hey, we've been here for a while. We've been on this journey. Unfortunately, most of us fall into a category at times and sometimes right here and now. What I like to say is spiritual weakness, a state of weakness, an endangerment of darkness filling up that void. Because where there is an absence of God, something's going to fill that void up. Or try to, I should say. Darkness. When you turn off a light switch, the whole room is in darkness, right? So if we're not having the life of Christ within us completely, that means we got some spaces of darkness. If we don't have the love of God filling up within us, then we're in danger of darkness filling us up. We need to learn how to yield to God's love. I've learned that you can't educate yourself into it. You can't practice enough, because it's a difficult thing to do without God being your source and guiding you. Because, see, people make it hard. Let's be honest. People make it hard to love them. I've been on both sides of that fence. I've been the one making it hard on people, and I've had a hard time loving people. Because we have all of us have emotional injuries that get in our way. God is the one that we need within us to create within us that love that can handle this, that can do this. But the thing is, we need to understand how he does that, the steps he's doing, the things that's going on, so we will stop getting in his way. See, we hinder God often of the work he's trying to do within us because we're ignorant. We don't understand what's happening. We're fearful. We need to learn to cooperate with what he's doing. Oftentimes, we just don't cooperate with what God is doing. God is, he tries to flow through every Christian, but we resist him in our ignorance. 5 and 19, it says, do not quench the Spirit. You know what that tells me? If he's saying don't do this, it means I can. And the fact he pointed out means I must do it sometimes. The word quench, it means this in the original language, to cause to cease, to burn or shine. Talking about the Holy Spirit, we prevent the Holy Spirit from shining its best through us out of ignorance. We need understanding so we can stop hindering what God is doing in our lives. We need some understanding. So this morning, what I'd like to do, because a very important part of transformation is understanding what God is trying to do within me. Today, I want to talk about some details of one particular angle of transformation that gets in our way, and that's communication. I think most of us can say communication is a very broken thing in our lives. Man, marriages break up because of communication. Friendships break up. Neighborhoods fight. Cities can't get along. Countries go to war. I mean, it's all because of lack of communication or the brokenness of communication. So I want to talk about its importance, dealing with the negatives, because there are sometimes negatives, and is there a balance? And I want to talk about dealing with that wild card, people's perspectives. I say that because, man, you ever had somebody's perspective throw you off? That's why I call it the wild card, something you can't believe somebody came up with that. So let's start with number one. Communication is very important to the people of God in their relationships. Proverbs 25 and 11. It says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now that seems a little bit complicated because the way that King James expresses itself. But I was looking up that word in Hebrew, fitly. It means this. Revolution, as in, because see, when I first said, I thought of revolution, we think of something turning, don't we? That's almost always our first thought of how things turn, but that's not the complete definition of the expression of revolution. It also means this, as in to cause, to move, or curving course around a center of something. What this scripture is talking about is words that are spoken to help another person to understand clearly your point is more valuable than wealth. Because that when it said apples, a picture of an apple on silver, I don't know why King James expressed it that way, but what that basically saying is a picture of an apple on money. It's talking about wealth. It is more valuable to speak clearly so a person understands you than having all the wealth. Generally, we don't communicate clearly. Why? Now, I'm bringing this up because I'm probably one of the biggest offenders in communication. So I think, hey, I think I got some weight behind this. I want to talk about this. Why is it that generally we don't communicate clearly? I've thought that before. Why is this person not getting what I'm saying? I've repeated myself. You ever had someone repeat something that 20, but a whole bunch of times you still don't know what they're talking about? Well, why is it that we don't communicate clearly? Because what you're saying, you understand it pretty clearly because you're the one speaking. What you want to share, you understand it. So when you understand something clearly, what do your is your tendency to do is to cut to the chase. You don't give out any details. You just start speaking as if the person's been listening to you the whole time you're talking in your thoughts. We talk to people without any kind of foundation of information because, see, you understand the foundation. It's clear to you. But when you speak to someone who doesn't have the foundation of what you want to share, they're not going to understand everything that you mean. But we talk to people like they should. My wife says, why do you always come up and start talking to me like you've been talking for 5 minutes already? And I'm like, well, how come your ESP doesn't work when I need it to? Because she always thinks she knows what I'm saying, so how come it isn't working right now? I'm like, well, you agreed with me inside here. But, you know, people need details when you're talking. You need to stop and think about, okay, this person might not have any foundation of what I'm about to say. I need to say the details. I need to create details. One of the things my wife teased me about, she says, you know, when you talk, there's a whole lot of she's and hims, but I don't know who they are. She goes, who was there? Well, so-and-so. Who else was there? Well, so-and-so. She goes, oh, okay, now it makes sense. Well, because, like I said, we just start talking. In Proverbs 16:23, it says this, the heart of the wise teaches their mouth and adds learning to their understanding. I'm showing you, there's scriptures to this. Teach yourself how to speak clearly by learning how to speak clearly. Keep in mind this. This is something I learned. I learned this from actually a source. I was surprised by it, but that's a different sermon. I was I thought what they said was profound to me because it says, keep in mind, because you ever felt this way? What's the matter with you? You don't have any common sense? Common sense to information is relative to experience and understanding of that information. Because the information that you have is only common to you because you have it. You can't expect the person standing next to you to have similar common sense to what you're talking about because you didn't tell them everything. They don't have all the pictures put together. It's kind of like if you've always worked in hospitality services and then you get hired in manufacturing, you can't expect that person to know all the common sense. Like, don't stick your hand in the drill. Don't stick your hand in the shear, which is a machine. It goes up and down. That seems like common sense, but if a person's never worked with machinery, they're not going to understand moving parts. Be aware. And vice versa. We have a tendency to expect people that we say, I've said it. Well, they just don't have common sense. Well, common sense is relative to a person's experience. And that goes with information. What else? That's within communication. That's important. It's so important to God's people. Well, we also need to remember that all you have is an opinion. I don't care how much you think you know what you're talking about. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care how much you think you got the facts. It's still an opinion. That's so hard for me to swallow. Because, see, we generally communicate when we talk, we interact with people from a perspective of being right, and then we're assuming the other person's wrong automatically. That's how we treat people. But we don't stop and think, you know what, I can only offer an opinion. I don't care how much you studied that Bible, it's still opinion when I'm talking about it, you know. Have you ever shared something over and over and over and over, and then you found out you're wrong? You had to go back, hey, I was wrong about that, you know. I found out 2 + 2 isn't 5, it's 4. But yeah, we would die for that thought, wouldn't we? Praise the Lord. The only person in this universe that is all-knowing is God. So we need to be a whole lot more humble about what we think we know Because see, if you step back and say, okay, this is just my opinion of what I think this means, or this is what this is the knowledge I've gathered, and this is now my opinion is a form from this knowledge. But since I'm not all knowing, I need to be more humble about it. That's how we need to approach things and people. And we also need to have some respect for the other person, because each person has the right to have their own opinion, even if it's different from yours. I used to say, even if it's wrong. Till God taught me that that's not right either. Because I used to say, hey, you're okay if you have your opinion, even though it's wrong. Then my fight would start all over again. When you're communicating, keep in mind the mutual concern for each other. If you communicate through how you feel or how it benefits you, you're going to really offend the other person. Because you need to step back and think about this in your relationships. Both of you are important, okay? And we need to respect that through our attitude and our expressions. We're both important. More important than our opinions about something or our feelings. The other person is important to you, valuable to you. We need to get that. I was such a slow learner that not understand. I do now. But at a hard time understanding or realizing the value of every member in the body of Christ that's in my life. We all are valuable and important. And then here's something else we need to do. We need to listen as much as we talk. And some of us, you could be really good listeners because you talk a lot. One of the things that I've learned to do one of the hardest steps for me in this was to stop thinking about what I want to say while the other person is talking. Sometimes you can get with someone who's very acute in their thinking, and they will know you're not listening. Because, see, we think we're stealthy. I can tell when someone's, like, checked out. They're staring right at my eyes, but they're not all there. Porch lights on, but nobody's home. Those in America knows what that means. Because you're going to miss important details of what a person is saying. You need to stop for a minute and let them talk. You know why you're afraid to listen to the person? Because you're going to forget what you're going to say. I remember when Mike had first taught me this principle, I just totally focused on what that person's saying. And I did not. And when they were done talking, I didn't have anything to say. I couldn't remember a thing I was thinking. And I was like, they're like, don't you got something to say? Nope. And they're like, why not? I said, because I don't remember anything I was thinking because I was listening to what you were saying. Well, it's probably because the Holy Spirit didn't want me to say anything, but. We need to ask questions when a person's talking to us. When they're sharing their opinion with you, you need to ask questions. Get some clarification out of what they're saying. Make sure you understand what they're saying. Have you ever heard someone get mad at you about something? Say, no, you always do that. Whatever that is. Well, step back and say, oh, wait a minute. So are you saying that every time I open my mouth, I do that? Most of the time, a person's going to say, well, no, I don't mean every time. Okay, now I got a little bit more understanding. They're just saying I do it often enough and it irritates them. Not that I'm going to do that. I've done this before. I was talking to Mike one day because I was so mad. I don't remember how old I was, but I was really angry. I said, this person lies all the time. And he goes, oh, they do? I said, yeah. Every time their mouth's open, they're lying. To me is what I was thinking. Mike goes, oh, really? Well, how many times have they lied to you in this week? I said, well, they didn't lie to me this week. And he goes, okay, well, what about last week? Basically, this went on. He went week by week, by month, by year. Finally, what it came down to in the conversation was they lied to me 3 times in a year. And Mike goes, well, how many times did you talk to him? Well, I talked to him every day. He said, so you talked to him 365 days a year, and they lied to you 3 times. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, that's actually pretty good. That doesn't sound like to me they're a liar. It just sounds like to me 3 times they lied to you. And I was like, thought about it, and I was like, you know, you got a point, Mike. I had a prejudice and an attitude toward this person. I labeled them in my heart and my mind that they were a liar just because they lied to me three times. Was that fair? Was that Christ-like? Is that what God would do? No. I did not have a very good relationship with that person because I was prejudiced. What else? Well, I want to talk about clearly deal with negative communication. Proverbs 15:1. Soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. What is our tendency when we're in discussion? We want to win. We don't say that word, but we practice it. We want to win that conversation. Most people try to win or change the other person's point of view. That's, you know, you don't like their opinion. You want to give them all the reason why their opinion is wrong and why you're right. And it's basically a form of wanting to win that discussion. But the thing is, what's the purpose of a discussion? Well, it's to have a meaningful interaction. For what purpose? To convey feelings, opinion, perspective, ideas, exchange information, to ensure understanding, and finally, and the most important, is to establish and enhance our friendship. That's what it's for. It's not for a verbal mortal combat. Because in our verbally what we say is we will rip a person's spine and skull out of their psychological being. We do. We will psychologically rip a person's backbone out because, you know, just tear them to nothing. Some of you know what Mortal Kombat is. It's a game. It's where you mortally wound your opponent because you're going to tear them down till they got nothing left just to make a point. That's not what a discussion is for. It's for your relationship to come together to be unified in Christ. We need to think about this for a minute. And when we're dealing with a negative communication, you only have the right to present your point of view. Help a person. Don't try to change them. See, our responsibility is to share what God's given us, but not to make something happen. It says we are seed planters. Sometimes we're waterers, but we cannot make the seed grow. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that I can make a seed grow. It just says I can water it, plant it, and he'll do the rest. Because, see, if you try to just take your point of view, Christians out there, and if you're listening to this whenever you do, if we try to make everybody follow what we think is right in our opinions, what you do is people will become threatened in that moment you're talking to them. Why do people get threatened immediately when you get like that? Because you're expressing to them in that moment that something's wrong with them here and now. They're not okay right now. And because you're telling them in this moment, they're not okay, you're better than them. See, that's what we really feel. When someone just beats their opinion down immediately, you feel, well, you instantly, emotionally, you feel something's wrong with me, and they think they're better than me. When a person gets in that frame, you can't help them. You can't minister to them. We need to realize you're just sharing a point of view, and that's it. What else when you're dealing with the negative communication with someone, also is don't character assassinate a person. We don't have that right. God did not give us that right. How do we character assassinate a person? I said a little bit of this. We will label people. You're a liar. You're a bully. You're a jerk. You're a cult leader. We don't have that. Nowhere in the Bible says we have that kind of right. At all. People, you can't, if you character assassinate someone, if you call someone a liar, this or that, how are you going to help them? Because they're immediately now in defensive mode. I mean, if you try attacking me, I'm going to get defensive, right? Somebody try hurting you, you get defensive. What do you do that psychologically? If you if a person feels attacked, they get into defensive mode, and they're not in a mode of receiving from you anything that's useful, because they think everything you're doing is to be hurtful. We got to quit assassinating our people in our in character. Sometimes, yes, sometimes we have to deal with a behavior. But Christians, we need to know what the difference is. Dealing with behavior has nothing to do with the person's character. Sometimes every a person won't respond to positive encouragement and behavior things like that. The Bible does tell you, okay, well, if a person's not going to respond in their behavior, there's things you should do. I'm just going to give you examples. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6 says this: "We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother," that could be your sister, "who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition of which we received from us." That withdrawal means to abstain from association. It didn't say to tell everybody in the world that this person's a cult, so I'm not going to have nothing to do with that person. Or this person's evil. This person lies. Did it say go around doing that? No, it said, hey, you encourage the Bible, like their scripture talks about going to a brother or a sister, talking to them, and if they don't receive it, then the next step would be to do something. Whatever's appropriate in that moment. If it won't change your behavior, then you might have to respond to that behavior, that problematic behavior, but maybe I just need to not, you know, hang out with them so much. Limit my fellowship in some way. I'm not focusing on that. I'm giving you an example. The Bible gives us things to do that's not attacking a person, but dealing with a problematic behavior. Because when we come together, we can't just always do everything we want. There's certain things we've got to work together on. But we got to quit attacking each other, putting each other down. And verbally, I'm talking about, or just assassinating people. We should be lifting them up, encouraging them. What else within dealing with negative behavior, negative communication, is don't assume anything. Just deal with the facts presented to you in that moment. See, most of the time, we have assumptions, and assumptions will cloud the discussion, and you're going to make mistakes. I've done this. You know, I have assumed someone was lying because the facts look like, or the, not facts, but the, you know, circumstances appear that way. They were the last one in the kitchen, and now my creamer's gone. You're like, you don't know if they were the ones who drank it, but it sure looks like it because they were just in there. Just deal with the facts, you know, and be protective. But if I zero in on my assumption, well, I'm assuming this is the way it happened, or I'm assuming this, or they it seems like this. If we deal with people like that, we're going to hurt somebody. I shouldn't assume anything. That's one thing that, you know, when Mike used to be the pastor, he always treated somebody like today was a new day. Maybe they did have a lying problem. I used to have a lying problem back in the day. And he treated me every day like this might be the day I'll stop. Today's the day. You're no longer doing that. You know, that having a, I felt like every day was a fresh start. I'm not talking about your bank account. Anybody knows what that means? Fresh start bank account. No, I felt like every day was a fresh start. Hey, today I'm going to be different. And he interacted with me like today is different. If situations happen and I look like I was involved, he didn't treat me like I was. He said, "Well, what happened here? What's the facts? What you know?" We would talk about it and things like that. Because sometimes I was innocent. That's how we should treat each other. Like today might be the day that God freed them. Don't treat them like here we go again. They'd same old attitude. You don't even know if they have the attitude, but you treat them like they do. We can't do that. What else? He told us that we need to be balanced in our communication. And what I mean by that is use positives and negatives. Always start with the positive and then move toward the negative. And God does this. I remember back when Mike was the pastor and we had a school. And, of course, you know, I was one of the three top major troublemakers, you know. And somebody said amen. You rest of you didn't hear that. One of our old teachers back in the day. And he would, you know, he would have us, sometimes he would, you know, him and the principal, we would go into their office and you know, sometimes he would trick us, goes, hey, guys, I heard you got an A on this test or that. We're all like, yeah, we feeling really good. Thought we was getting there to get an award, the way he presented it. And then he goes, oh, we get ready to leave, think it's time to go, we're getting ready to leave. Oh, wait a minute, I just remember something, guys. By the way, did you try tripping the teacher? Oh, man. See, God does this. Revelations 2, chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. Revelations chapter 2, verse 2 through, this is all of the things I'm sharing with you today are from the Bible. God does this to us. Here is what he says to the church, one of the churches. I know your works, your labor, your patience that cannot bear those who are evil. Okay, now think about this. He says, what does he say? I know your labor, your patience. You don't bear those who are evil, and you test those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have, what else did he say? What other compliment does he give? And you have preserved and have patience and have labored in my name's sake. He's lifting them up. They're probably feeling pretty good right now. And he goes, and you have not become weary, and they're probably feeling, man, yeah, we're a really good, awesome church. But then he says, nevertheless, in spite of all these great, wonderful things, I have some against you. You left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you and quickly remove your lampstand from this place unless you repent. Even God started out with several compliments, and then he smacked something. We should do that with people. You know, build them up, make them feel, just let them know how much you really love them, how much they really matter. And then if you've got to bring up, and then you bring up the negative more softly and get to the point, the points, do the points. Here's the thing. Only a positive can impact a positive change in people. We know this. There's several principles. In the first Genesis chapter 1, I'm not going to turn to it, but you know it says this? It says only things produce their own kind. The world's way of thinking is they'll use negativity to drive you to something positive. That does not work. It never worked for me, you know. Matter of fact, the more negative you became toward me, the more negative I became, the more angry I became, the more frustrated. Only a positive can bring a positive. Negative can only do one thing. Bring awareness. That's all it can do. In Romans 3:20, it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, but not justification, not change, not anything else. A negative brings awareness, but not change. You cannot gripe or pressure a person into changing. Wives. No, ooh, they're not laughing. I'm in trouble when I get home. No, seriously, you can't gripe or gripe at your children or a person or any and pressure them into changing. Only positive will drive a person to change or help them impact them into change. These are the principle is in there. Truth and facts are not, now this is, listen to me, this can be hard to swallow. Truth and facts are not the most important thing in communication between people. Now, I had a hard time accepting that. That does not make sense to me, but it's true. Why? Why is this true? Because what a person thinks and believes, that's what's important, because that's what you're dealing with. Just saying a truth won't necessarily cause a person to respond differently. You're a liar. Well, that may be true, but it didn't cause me to change. or you lied, or you stole, or you got a bad attitude, or you're this and that. Just pointing out a truth doesn't necessarily cause me to change. Truth is important. But you're dealing with a person's perspective of what is true and what is facts. Those are important things to understand, because how you interact with people, how you deal with people. Most of the time when we deal with each other, we're dealing with each other's opinions and perspectives. There is truth, absolute facts. But how we perceive those things is what we interact with. We got to keep that in mind. I said something about dealing with a person's perspective, because this is kind of moving into that. Turn your Bibles to Philippians 2, 4 through 5. Philippians 2, 4 through 5. This is to keep in mind. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus Christ. He referred this back to the mind. And I'm pointing that out because I think it has a lot to do with our opinions and how we interact verbally with each other. Your right in dealing with a person is limited to how it affects you. Matthew 18 and 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. Now we need to, now it didn't say you made him, or that Jesus didn't say, go make them love you. Go make them realize their sin. Go make them accept their flawless, and then they're going to be okay. He said, no, you go, and if he hears you, you've gained. What I'm saying there is that we need to accept that we don't have the right to change people. Only God can do that. What we do have the right to do, and that is this, focus on how God wants to use us in circumstances. You have the right to do that. But we got to get past this attitude of wanting, we have the right to just get involved in every little thing and change this person. Well, you don't. Learn to understand people. And the only way you can do that, and I've learned this the hard way, is you need to take yourself out of the way. You need to forget about your opinion and focus on listening. Person has a different opinion than you. Well, if you want to understand that person, listen to it. How did they come to that understanding? What's going on in their lives? Why do they feel this way? Why do they like this? Why do they feel so passionate about this? If they feel hurt by you, well, why do they feel hurt by me? What was it that I said or did that they perceived in a way that made them feel a certain way? If I understand that, I'll know how to interact with them better. I'll know how to share Christ's heart with them. But I've got to have some understanding. And the biggest way to achieve that is I need to forget about my thoughts or how I feel about it and listen. And also I need to take in consideration behind every action is a need. The human tendency is to shun, ignore, and reject people because we don't like their actions. We don't like their behavior. I don't like where that person talked to me. So we won't talk to them anymore. Or I don't like the way that person acted over here in this situation. I don't want anything to do with them. Now, we don't, as Christians, we don't always just put up, you know, we just don't always, like, stop having anything to do with people. We just sort of slowly stop talking to them. Don't call them anymore. Don't get on social media with them, you know. I don't know if young people still use like Facebook stuff, but you know you can unfollow someone and they won't realize it. Well, that's what we do in spiritual world. We'll unfollow somebody spiritually. We won't tell them, but we just sort of all of a sudden, you know, I haven't seen you about barbecue in the last few months or so. Yeah, about that. I'm kind of busy. We just don't like them. We don't want to be around them. That's not the right way to be. People, we need to realize that people are hurt. Okay? They hurt you because they have a need. And what is that need? Christ. They have a need for Christ. And only Christ can fill that need. And anything else that's not Christ is going to bring about hurt. Because that void is so huge that all a human being can do is try and satisfy the need. He can't meet the need. Because only God can meet your need. Always deal with circumstances from the perspective of how. Now I'm getting ready to close. Always deal with circumstances and situations from a perspective of how can I minister? How can I minister in a situation? If you can't remember that, write down. I used to hate my job. Listen to all kinds of sermons. Did this, did that. Still hate my job. Because I couldn't remember to stop hating my job in the moment. So what I did was I put some scriptures and pasted them to them on the inside of my locker. So when I opened my locker, it says, hey, God put you here, so watch your attitude. I can't remember everything I put in there, but I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And if you're like me, you probably just stop going to your locker, so you got to change up the signs. You got to move the signs around. You know, you got to know yourself. The Bible says know yourself. If you know you're going to ignore that sign, put it somewhere else. Change the color. Do something to keep it on your mind. Ask God what you can do to minister in situations. Don't focus on how you've been wronged. We do that all the time. We spend so much energy and all of our power, whatever you want to call it, on how you've been wronged, when you should be saying, well, how can I minister in this situation? You won't even think about being wrong. It won't matter to you as long as you're focused on how to minister. If we had that frame of mind all the time, how do I minister? How to minister? Yeah, I don't believe you'd be lonely. I don't believe you're going to get your feelings hurt. I don't believe you're going to be hardly ever be offended because you're focused on how to minister. It's awesome. That becomes important to you. In Christ, every moment is how do I minister? How do I minister? Then all of this stuff will fall away to the wayside. So, communication is a key to a Christian's life with each other. Present your opinions. Don't try to convert someone else's opinion. Start with a positive, then discuss a negative. And respect your limitations in what's going on. God bless you. Thank you for being here this week. We hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week at 11 a.m. That's it. Praise the Lord.